Welcome, listeners, to another episode of The Pursuit of Perfectness, the podcast where two average Joes, Dennis and Ellen, try to figure out what the heck perfectionism is, what does it do for us, and today we are recapping season two of this podcast. Dennis, can you believe that we've had two seasons of this show?
I can't. It's all gone by in a blur. Honestly, it's been a lot of work and it's been a lot of fun.
It's a labor of love.
Yeah. I mean, of course, we're getting thousands of dollars in sponsorships too, that we turned down.
Because that's not what we're about. That's not what we're about. I'm Ellen Matthews. That's Dennis Pacheco. Hi, everybody. I always forget to introduce our names.
That's okay.
And yeah, thank you. That's right, because
nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect. We're not even going to edit this out because we're raw and authentic, and we want you to see that. We want you to bear witness to that. Yeah. That's what this podcast's about, okay? So don't come at us, sponsors, with your money.
We're anti-capitalist.
We don't need it.
Yeah, so that was the intro. I think that was a nice loose intro.
Gotta tighten it up for season three.
This is interesting because last time we did this season wrap episode, we had recorded and edited every episode, but this time we are recording this before we've edited the last few episodes and aired them. So, you might hear some stuff, that you're not going to hear in the final episode. So that's
raw,
weird.
Raw, authentic. That should be the theme for season three.
Raw.
Okay, forget. I immediately changed my mind.
I don't know why I said it. Like, I don't even know what that was. I don't know what the emotion behind that was.
Listeners, call in. I don't even know if we have a phone number anymore. Email us about what you think the theme should be for season three.
Yeah, okay? It should have a through line. We're gonna get a writer's room together, and it should definitely have a through line. Like. Yeah. I really want to model this podcast on Breaking Bad, just because they had such a great, maybe you could become an anti-hero.
That's right. It really takes a turn.
Yeah. It's dark. Maybe it could get really dark and I could be your sidekick.
Really
and,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Sorry. Well, no, I didn't mean to cut off your, what was your
no,
bit?
No. I was just like, well, I used to like just talk about perfectionism, and now,
yeah,
I don't know. I couldn't think of something funny.
Yeah, now we're on HBO Max. I don't know. I didn't know they had podcasts.
Season two. What a good season.
So we're looking back. Yeah. So this season, kind of not. We didn't do it before the first episode, which would have been the ideal place to do it. But we kind of shifted the format. Repeat listeners will know. Repeat listeners? What do we call people who listen to every episode?
Loyal listeners.
Loyal returning listeners will notice that we changed our format. And we record the episode now. We start a little more conversationally, fade in, and then we record the intro after. We're doing like a little teaser. And we kind of lost the green room. Sorry for those of you who love the green room bit. I think maybe it was just me, but green rooms, I don't know. It's gone.
Yeah, subtle changes.
Yeah, subtle changes, but for the better, I think. And then I just had a thought that I want to talk about that I've been kind of trying to articulate since the beginning of this podcast. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm closer to what it is that I'm trying to articulate. And it's the two perfectionisms or the two perfectnesses.
Yes.
And I define them simply like this. Doing perfectness, being perfectness. Mm. Doing perfect, being perfect. So, So one is like, doing things perfectly to, for whatever reason, minimize risk, avoid shame, whatever reason. And then there's being perfect, which is like, I have to be a certain weight. I have to have a certain fashion look. Mm. It's the way that, you know, I have to be a good guitarist, and I have to be a good artist, and I have to, you know, I don't know. It's just like holding yourself. It feels like much more self. What's the word?
Like your identity.
Yeah. It's like a lot more of a solipsistic thing where you're focused on being perfect. And yes. I don't know. What do you think about that? I think I'm still working on it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like this goes, you know, along with our existential crises that we have every episode, which is like, are the things I do who I am? Like, what am I? You know, if you ask Aristotle, he will say, like, you become these virtues by doing virtuous things. So I am a courageous person by doing courageous things. So I am perfect by doing perfect things, right? So I think action and then who you are very interconnected. And I think that's why we obsess about doing things perfectly, because that makes us maybe a more perfect person, or a person that we feel like we can be proud of.
But they're both about how we're being perceived, right? But I don't know. Maybe it's the doing perfect is how we're perceived, and the being perfect is how we perceive ourselves.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm still working on it. Maybe by season four, I'll have an idea of like a definition, a working definition of perfectionism.
You know what my takeaway has been after two seasons is I kind of thought like one day after all this exploration, I'm finally gonna get to the point where like I no longer try to be perfect, and I'm just like chill as hell. And I'm just like so go with the flow, and I'm like, that's okay, that's not gonna bother me. And I've realized that like that is never going to happen. But that's like understanding that is like very freeing, because I'm realizing that perfectionism for me, I'm never going to find a cure. I'm just going to find a way to manage. I'm just going to find a way to live with it. To live with it in a healthy, soft, kind way. And that actually is helpful to me, because it's no longer something that I'm like, I'll finally get rid of this. It's like, no. It's always going to be there. And you're just going to befriend it. And and learn to be like, oh, I'm doing it again. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, I agree. But also I feel like you can make it work for you. Like, is this always a glitch, or is it a feature? Is it a bug or is it a feature? Like, how do I make this work for me? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That actually, if we can go out of order with our episodes, that reminds me of Jonathan Mitchell's episode. What I liked about Jonathan Mitchell's episode was he was very cool and calm about perfectionism. He said he was a perfectionist, and he was like, I don't see that as a bad thing. Like he saw it as very, like, he seemed very data driven. I remember an example he used was, him getting like a really great sound studio for one of his podcasts. And he realized that when he was editing the sound, if something was off with the sound, he's like, well, it's surely not my sound studio, because that is like top level. So it must be me in some other way. And instead of being hard on himself and saying, ugh, I have this perfect studio and I'm still messing it up because I suck, he was like, I've just narrowed down, you know, figuring out what's wrong. And I thought that was such a great way to handle that pressure of perfectness, is to just be like, okay, it's just narrowing down the problem, and I'm going to be able to focus instead of beating myself up for the mistake. I'm just here to find the mistake and fix it in a cool, calm, collected way.
Yeah. And Rich Christoforsky also had a very positive view of perfectionism, and how he really saw it as a positive. I mean, maybe if we want to just, since we're talking about it, let's just go in order.
Yeah. Okay. Episode one, Jessica Coyle and Richard Christoforsky.
Celebrate Little Milestones was the name of that one.
And you called them our podcast from another modcast. I really liked that.
Yeah. Because we're, you know, we did this really interesting thing. Loyal listeners will recall that we had them on our podcast. They had us on their podcast, and then we aired that episode of their podcast as a special bonus episode of our podcast, which was very, very fun and exciting. Cross promotion and cross pollination. We got to do improv for the whole show.
So much fun.
It was so fun, and we laughed ourselves like delirious.
Yes. Their podcast is called Made Up Talk Show. Check it out. Mm-hmm. It's part of the Let's Hear It Network. Super fun.
Our episode was called How Did These Get Met?
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yeah. And it was about how couples, strange couples in this, in Spokane, Washington.
That's right. Atypical couples, how they met, how they got together, how they make it work. Yeah. Oh, which was such a great idea. Remember, we were coming up with ideas.
Oof, yeah,
that was.
I think the four of us could have made any of those ideas work, but this one was just so fun. But anyway, but enough about their podcast. We've given them enough free publicity. Let's get back to our podcast. So they were great guests. They've thought so much about perfectionism and just mm-hmm. anxiety and all these other mental. Yeah. Wellness things that we like to touch on.
And a takeaway from their episode was you got to celebrate the little milestones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so true. You know, perfectionism makes us like so driven on to the next, what's the next season? What's the next episode? What's the next thing? And you got to just slow down and celebrate. So you know what, Dennis? Let's celebrate that we've recapped another season.
That is exactly what I was thinking, Ellen. It's like we had that episode, we had that discussion, and it never crossed my mind that the two of us never celebrated the end of season one.
We didn't.
We never did. It was just like, on to the next, on to the next.
Yes. It's almost like we're learning nothing.
We're learning. We are learning. It's just sometimes it takes a little
going
time.
In one ear and out the other.
No, we're learning.
That's why we're doing this recap, because we're reminding ourselves of the lessons that we should have learned. That we should have learned. We got to celebrate.
But let's celebrate, you know? We'll take our SOs out for a drink or something.
Yeah.
A nice meal. We should celebrate.
We should do that.
So it just penetrated my skull.
I also loved that Richard said during that episode, eventually his podcast will be perfect. What did he say?
He said like, it's not perfect yet. And, and you and I and Rich were all like nodding. Yes, of course. And Jessica was the one who flagged that and was like, Richard, no, it's never going to be perfect.
What a Freudian slip.
That just, the two of us were just like, uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not perfect yet.
Yeah, it will be.
But it will be. If you just try hard enough. If you're just good enough of a person.
Yeah. So that was a good catch.
They're so fun.
Jessica's very, very observant and very thoughtful.
Yes.
Has helped me understand my ADHD a little better and my...
That's great.
Yeah, the thing where I think other people don't like me.
Oh, yes. We talked about that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, if people don't like you, that's okay. Let it go. Life's too short. And you know what? If everybody likes you, something's off with you. You know what I'm saying?
If everybody likes you, you're...
Everybody likes you?
You are boring.
Yeah.
If everybody likes you, you're boring.
You know, they say, like, if... there's a quote, but I think it's like for people in politics, but I think it relates. But in politics, if you have no enemies, it means you have no character. And I think that's true. If you got a point of view, if mm-hmm. you have a point of view, if you have, you know, opinions and a personality, not everyone's going to dig it, you know?
Ellen and I have enemies. We have
that
enemies,
is what I'm trying
and
to say.
That is how you know that we have character.
Okay, the more enemies, the more character you have.
Yeah, hashtag winning. Enemies. We're racking up the enemies. We are very... it's because we're so opinionated.
So opinionated. But it's helping me fight my people-pleasing tendencies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very humbling.
Having enemies is really
It's humbling. My eyes.
All right.
God.
I think we can move on. So,
please like us. Number
please
two.
Like us. We don't have enemies, I don't think, and we don't want them. Number two is Rob, good old Rob Penty, storyteller and wow, just Renaissance dude.
And he wrote an article for us, dedicated to us,
mm-hmm.
on perfectionism called Minimizing Risk on his blog. I thought he had such great insights about perfectionism. We talked a lot in this episode.
I think my favorite thing when I think back on this episode was how we all had like half-remembered stories about neuroscience experiments. And then
so
Rob,
embarrassing.
Yeah, we were all like, we all went in confident. Like, there was this experiment. And then by the end, we're like, I don't know. Maybe I dreamed it.
They took one half of a guy's brain. And then... This doesn't sound scientifically possible, but hear me out.
Yeah, his hand did a thing the opposite of what his... And so Rob called that sober drunk history. We were doing a sober drunk history, which I thought was so funny and apt and probably should have been the name of the episode.
We can go back and change it, right?
We absolutely can. But what a nice, fun man.
That was super fun. And... He also talked about something that I really connected with was he talked about like perfectionism when it comes to health, and he gets like very hard on himself. Like he's a runner, and if he gets an injury and he can't run, he's like, oh, what did I do? Like he takes responsibility for like something that just like happened to him, like an injury, and like making it his fault. And, I very much related to that because I think I have more control over things like germs than I actually do. And we talked about COVID in this episode.
Yeah, got to talk about it. I had it. I think Rob had it, even though, and we had to say like we did all the right things. We got two doses of the Pfizer, we right. got the booster, and then we yeah. still got a breakthrough infection because of Omicron, I think.
Correct.
And yeah, and I think, and I didn't have this as much as Rob, but his, or you, the, his few point of view, like if I get injured or sick, I feel like I'm morally, like did something wrong.
Right, right.
Or failed in some way.
Yes.
Or, you know.
And that is, I relate to that so much. And I remember saying, when you had COVID in January and you told me about it, I was like, oh, that is a bad thing that happened to Dennis. That is not his fault. That's something that just happened. And I have such empathy for him. And I remember I said in that episode, but if I get it, I am going to tear myself apart. And guess what, folks, listeners, good old Ellen got COVID.
Yeah. If it can happen to Ellen, it can happen to anybody.
I am like the bubble girl.
Yeah.
I am very cautious and I did all the right things.
We masked up, wore the N95 or the KN95s everywhere.
Testing.
Washed the hands, testing, everything.
Everything. And it still got me. And I was, Dennis, I was preparing for this day because I knew, you know, probably going to get it at some point. Everyone's going to get it probably at some point. And
yeah.
And I knew exactly what would happen, right? Like I knew I would get it and I knew I would be upset at myself and I would retrace every one of my steps to figure out what I had done wrong and where I could have corrected it to not catch it. And I remember like I had my therapy session, my phone therapy session that week. And I just was like, it's happened. Like, you know, like, and like she knew, we were like, okay, so let's go through all the steps. Like you're blaming yourself. You're like, we had been preparing for this moment.
Yeah.
It was like code red. It's happening.
Yeah.
But you know, I'd like to think that this episode and this podcast contributed to helping me through
that's good.
That anxiety. Yeah.
That's good. There's a point to this.
And now I'm better. Guys, I'm better. Everything's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it kind of bad, right? Or
I had it like, I mean, I think it's, I mean, this sends people to the hospital. So like, mm-hmm. you know, I had it relatively easy compared to, you know, how bad it can be for other people.
Right, yeah.
But then you hear about people who are like, oh, I have the sniffles and it was fine. So I was in between
yeah.
the sniffles. You know, I had a fever. I couldn't stop sleeping. I couldn't get out of bed, but.
Yeah, I had it and I was just like tired.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? It's like so wildly inconsistent.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Anyway, so folks.
Do all the right things. But you're still going to get it.
The moral of the story is that you are not in control. You are not in control and you just have to surrender control and embrace reality as it is. And that's freeing. And you let yourself off the hook that way.
It's like empowering in a way to be like, yeah. Yes. It's like empowering in a way to be like, I don't control everything.
Yeah. It is empowering.
To admit that you don't have power over everything is weirdly empowering, I think.
I think so too. Oof, I like that.
Yeah. So then we interviewed Jamie Rivera, our best BFF, friend in the
world. Best friend forever.
Jamie Rivera. Jamie's an amateur toy photographer and an improviser and a scotch drinker. And so we named the episode "Love." You got to love the burn. You got to learn to love the burn. So we called it "Love the Burn," and the burn referred to scotch, taste of scotch, but also I think all the effort and hours it takes to create something that you're happy with.
Correct, and to love it. You know, like it can suck. It can be frustrating. It can be brutal. But you gotta, you also love that. It's a labor of love, like you said in the beginning.
Loving the process. Which is tough. Learning to love that process. I mean, they say writers love to have written and hate to write.
Right. I totally relate to that.
And if you can somehow learn to love, which we don't know how to do that. But we're working on it. Again, if you're coming to this podcast for information or help or pointers,
you are so lost.
Wrong place. Yeah. We're just muddling through just like everybody else. And we talked about how what it's like to learn your art form in front of an audience, to be creative and like fail in front of people or succeed in front of people. How we can really relate to that as improvisers. That's kind of how you learn. You just like fail in front of people a lot.
Fail in front of people and then be like, that didn't kill me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the important thing.
That. Yeah. I also really enjoyed Jamie's philosophy about not yucking other people's yums. He said he's done with that. And if he... You know, if somebody else loves something, he used an example of a certain Star Wars movie, and he hates it, he's not going to ruin it for that other person. You know, if you love something, if you connect with something, we're not going to make fun of you for it. Just enjoy it. And he brought that up because, you know, he had mentioned with toy photography, you know, he is aware that it seems like something that's like juvenile and maybe a bit odd to some people, but he digs it. So, you know, why would anyone be like, oh, why are you doing this? This is for kids. It's like, no, this is a cool thing. Why are we yucking people's yums?
Yeah. And he had this great phrase, like people might look at it and go, what is this 40-year-old virgin shit? Right. Which, you know. You know, do your thing.
Do your thing. And further, we also discovered through that like in adulthood, we just decide that this like fun, cool stuff is just for kids. Like, why? Like, why is like, you know, doing anything with action figures like just for kids? Or as improvisers, like, I think a lot of people are like, that's silly. That's childish. Like, you're playing make-believe. That's for children. But why would you want to stop having, like, fun and, you know, doing things that makes you feel like childlike joy. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So don't yuck other people's yum and don't yuck your own yum.
Excellent takeaway.
Find your yum and yum it up.
And do something that you think is a little childish. I bet it'll make your day.
Yeah, I think that's a good lesson. And these don't all have to have lessons, but...
No.
I don't know. I just needed a... I just wanted to wrap that up with a bow. we talked to Jonathan Mitchell, very accomplished producer of The Truth, which just celebrated its 10th anniversary, The Truth Podcast, which we're both big fans of. I've had the pleasure to be on a few episodes, and I love it. I love doing it. I'm going to admit something to you listeners that might make me look like an asshole, but I like to listen to my own performances.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but I hear other people say like, "Ah, I hate the sound of my own voice. I can't watch a video of me doing improv or whatever." And I'm just like, I like it. I like watching it. I like, yeah. I like what I did there. Oh, that could have gone better or whatever. Like, I don't know, kind of do a realistic assessment of it. And I enjoy it. I like the sound of my own voice. I didn't used to. Truly, I didn't used to. I think it's good that I learned to like the sound of
my voice. I think that's good, too.
Voice. I mean, we all have a unique voice, obviously. I mean, it's okay to be like, I like it. This is good, I think. If you think I'm an asshole, then... You are now my enemy.
So much character. I think that's really great, Dennis. And I think it reminds me of what we talked about, I think, in the Jamie episode, too, about, like, accept a compliment. Like, it's okay to think you're good. That's good. It's not arrogant. It's, like, it's confident and self-love and all that good stuff. And I would like to learn because I hate my voice. And
you've got a great voice.
My voice is honky. I say like way too
you don't.
Much.
You don't.
Yes,
you
I don't. Do. You I don't. Do. Listeners, you know I do. So maybe we can work on that. Maybe we can work on.
Well, you know, that's your experience. I have a different experience of it. I'm not going to invalidate your feelings on it. But I enjoy it. And I don't think you say like too much. One of our other guests also said that they thought they said like too much. And I was just like, I don't hear it. I don't hear it.
Yeah. But I also love The Truth. And I listened to the episodes you're in, Dennis, and they were
thank you.
Wonderful. I binged The Truth. I thought they were really cool short stories, short fictional stories. I really like this podcast, and I actually listened to it during COVID, and it helped a lot.
During your bout of COVID.
During my bout of COVID, yes.
Because this is still, we're still.
Oh, you're right. During COVID, right. During my personal COVID.
Yeah. And then we talked about this also earlier about taking responsibility for your failures,
yes,
or your perceived failures or your shortcomings, and just having a sober, realistic assessment of it and then being empowered by it, right?
Yes.
Is that a fair?
Yeah. He was I brought him up earlier because he was very, not hard on himself. Just, he thought of it as data, like I'm narrowing down the issue.
Yeah. I don't know if we talked about this, but we might have talked about this in an earlier episode in the first season, but like how being way too hard on yourself is also kind of like an arrogant thing, like a self-centered thing.
Yeah.
Maybe not arrogant, but definitely self-centered.
Yes, you're right.
Where you're like, what I did is the worst thing in the world is just as bad as saying what I did is the best thing in the world, because neither one of those is realistic. If you land on, if you can assess yourself, your behaviors, your actions realistically, and just notice them, which we'll get to also, we talked about another guest about noticing your thoughts and noticing
yes.
your behaviors. But just noticing them is going to, I don't know. It's helped me.
Yeah. Yeah. The arrogance thing is really resonates with me too, because it's like, how could I make a mistake? How could I make a mistake? And it's like, who do you think you are? Like,
yeah.
Why do you think you're better than other people that, yeah, you know, like humans make mistakes. Do you think you're like better than a human? Like, what? You think you're God? I don't know.
That's the kind of the subtext.
Right? So, yeah. You know, just think of it as being humble when you're being easy on yourself or kind to yourself.
We talked to our friend Victor Varnado.
Yes.
Who just is such an inspiring figure who's able to only work on things that he wants to work on and make money at it, and he's got a very
amazing,
you know, he's very focused. He's like, what do I need to accomplish this, I will do it. You know, stand-up comedian, New Yorker cartoonist, producer, podcaster, funny man, and a very entertaining guest. Mm-hmm. So it was great to have him on the podcast.
It really was. And his brain is so interesting because he's so funny and, you know, it's so creative. And you know how like you'll have like a crazy thought and then you'll never think about it again? I feel like he has like fun thoughts and he's like, let me do that. Like he has a bunch of podcasts. I remember talking about the podcast where he's reading Wikipedia pages, mm-hmm, which is so funny. And, you know, I just love that he's like, oh, I had an idea. Let's just execute on that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Just in daily life being like, we have these thoughts. We're like, oh, what would happen if I did this?
Right.
And then we don't do it.
Right.
And sometimes he does do it.
And sometimes
leads to a great story.
Right. And he like made a video game, right? He like built a video game.
Yeah. He's working on a Cthulhu video game.
Yes.
Wild.
Very, I just love that he follows the thread, like truly follows the thread. I think that's really inspiring.
Next, we talked to Nick Bertozzi, who is my former mentor and my former teacher at SVA, one of the greats, truly one of the greats, one of my favorite teachers, if not the favorite teacher. And look, I don't know whose feelings I'm protecting. He was my favorite teacher. Yeah, let's just admit it. He was my favorite teacher at SVA. He was my teacher my senior year, which is so funny to hear him talk about when he started teaching, which he started teaching, his first class was my class, the class that I took. And to hear him talk about it as if it was a failure because he maybe lacked a little self-confidence, or, you know, he wasn't, it was maybe he felt pressure, but, you know, he in his first class, he's kind of soft-spoken. And so he wasn't projecting, and a lot of the kids would be like, speak up, we can't hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would speak up, but then his voice would get soft again. And then the next week, a bunch of students did not come back to his class for the second week. I didn't remember that. I remember being like, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Right.
And he's very like encouraging and inspiring. And he's also like, he's a very like strange point of view and sense of humor that's different enough from mine that I appreciate it, but he always surprises me.
Mm. It was honestly so lovely to see the two of you like interact, because you could just see that it was two people who like really respected and admired each other and had such a shared passion. And so I liked that interview and watching you two. And I thought what Nick had to say about his book called The Salon was very interesting. It was his first book that was published, I believe. And he talked about how the editor made a lot of changes and he felt pressure to be the perfect client to the editor. And so he kind of was like, okay, we'll change that. And by the end, the book really became something that wasn't his vision, and you know, he had allowed that perfectionist tendency of wanting to be liked and wanting to be like a good, quote unquote, good client, kind of take away that vision. That really stayed with me.
Yeah. And he learned from that experience and took it.
Yeah, exactly. For future projects, absolutely.
So then we had Jerry Cole, who I used to do a sketch with at Magnet. We were both writers. So funny, so warm, so what a great voice also. And she, I think, was our first Emmy winner.
Yeah, and she has a lot of awards.
Yeah, she's a very impressive lady. Yeah, NAACP Image Award.
4 Emmys, 1 for producing, 3 for writing, a Writers Guild Award, a Producers Guild Award, and an NAACP Image Award. Oof, I'm out of breath by listing all those awards.
Yeah, and she's a host of this great podcast on writing from the Writers Guild of America East. So it's great to hear writers talk about the process of writing. Yes.
And a writer on Sesame Street.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
And a writer on Sesame Street, the first Black woman writer that Sesame Street's had in their decades-long history, which is shocking because in front of the camera, there's so much diversity, but behind the camera, they got work to do, you know, just like so many shows. Jerry was our first guest where we stopped recording the podcast and then went back and restarted recording again.
That's right.
Record kind of a bumper to it because after we were like, ah, great app, thanks for doing this, we stopped recording. She's like, oh, you know what I just remembered? I made these videos with my husband called How to Be the Perfect Couple. I probably should have talked about that.
And so then we got back in the studio and recorded that because it was just, we had to. And then we talked about like how to be perfect in relationships and as a couple. It was a nice little cherry on top of a nice.
Yeah. And I hope to hear more from her, in the future.
Yeah.
In the podcast space.
Yes.
Ian Chillog, was our next episode. And Ian is a real interesting guy. He's also done a few podcasts, created some podcasts and hosted a podcast.
Including Everything is Alive.
Everything is Alive, which if you're not listening to, you should. It is a podcast where he improvises with an improviser who plays the part of an inanimate object that has a point of view and an opinion on the world. And it's just very fun. It's like loosely not scripted, but there's the backbone of who this character is. The improviser builds it with Ian, and then they just go in and improvise. And he was a little hard on himself as an improviser, which I think is a perfectionist thing. He said, do you remember that?
I don't remember him being hard on himself.
Yeah, he's a little hard on himself, and he's like, I'm just trying to keep up. Or I don't remember exactly what he said, but I was like, you're a natural.
Oh, he's great.
You're a natural.
This show is so fun. Like, I don't usually laugh out loud when I am listening to comedy or watching comedy when I'm by myself, because I have a theory about laughter that it's for communication. You don't laugh when you're alone. I laughed out loud listening to this podcast by myself because it was just so funny in like the deep in your stomach kind of silliness. Oh my God. And if you want to check out Everything is Alive, I would recommend starting with Dennis's episode where he plays a pillow. Funny. Ellen.
Thanks. I would recommend, and this is not false humility, but I'd recommend starting with the Lewis episode, which was the first episode, Lewis the Canicola, but follow that up with the pillow episode, which was my episode.
And then
that's a nice little 1-2 punch.
And then one more, which is the lamppost episode.
Maeve.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh. Yeah, and that's also one of the first three.
Maeve Higgins. Yes.
Yeah. A very fun episode. A lot of references to Singing in the Rain. So fun.
It's so good. Check it out.
And then we rounded out the season with Malcolm Pradhia, my old friend, my old college bud.
He was such a sweetheart.
I know.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, please. He's the best.
Yeah, what a sweetheart. And it's almost like we're starting a tradition of ending the season with a psychotherapist.
I know.
I love it. I love that.
I love it too. We're going to end every season.
Yeah.
With a psychotherapist.
Season 1, we had fan favorite Amanda Rothman, yes. And season 2, we have fan favorite Malcolm Pradhia.
There you go.
Where we just kind of brought him all our problems. Like, well, what do you think about this? I do this. Why do I do this? And he indulged us, and he was very truthful and vulnerable, which made me feel at ease opening up. And then we also talked about white supremacy and how that plays a role in perfectionism.
Yes, yes. He made that connection of perfectionism to white supremacy, which was very interesting to discuss.
I had never really connected it, but once I started thinking about it and talking about it, it's like, oh, of course, this is the standard that we're holding ourselves to. Mm. This is the image. This is the default. This is the person we want to be. You know, this is where I'm falling short as like a brown man or, not to speak for you, Ellen, but like, as a woman, I guess. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. It kind of like, like who's making the rules, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, who's being centered? That's the language he used, which I thought was well said. Who's being centered in the conversation? And who's being erased?
Yeah. Very eye-opening. Gave me a lot to think about.
Yeah. Same. I think that's something that maybe we should return to and continue to explore.
Yeah, it's tricky to talk about. Definitely tricky to talk about.
Yes.
We're doing our best.
Yes.
But he was also very funny, Malcolm.
Super funny. He's one of the funniest people I know. And he's not even a comedian. And I hang out with a lot of improvisers and comedians. Yeah. And he's still one of the funniest people I know.
Yeah.
And just such a good, like, such a good person. He's just,
yeah,
he's great.
What's interesting about him and other funny people who aren't comedians or improvisers, when you're like, oh, I don't know why we have this impulse, but we're like, you should do improv.
I know.
And they're like, no, thanks. And it short circuits my brain. It's like, why do you not need the approval of strangers?
to me, I'm just like, what a waste. Which, it's not a waste. I mean, obviously, you know.
It's not. It's like.
But it's just like, oh, it would be so good.
It would be so good. Like, when I think about that, Ellen, and I don't think we've talked about this before, but it's such an interesting, I don't know, thought experiment. Or maybe it's, I don't know, torture. But I think, would I rather be well-adjusted or funny? And I wouldn't change anything about my life. I love who I am.
Yeah.
And everything that brought me here.
Yeah.
So I can't say well adjusted. I wouldn't rather be well adjusted. I'd rather be me. Not well adjusted. Craving the adulation of strangers. Loving the sound of my own voice. That's who I am. That's why I have so many enemies.
I think it's very healthy that you like who you are. And I don't think I wouldn't call that not well adjusted. I think that in itself is well adjusted for you to accept who you are and to be happy and proud of that.
Yeah. I thought it was so funny when thank you, Ellen. Not to gloss over everything you said. Thank you. You're right. And thank you.
Yes.
And I hear you and I take that in and I accept it.
Wonderful.
But I also, that makes me think of this, something that Rob Penty said, to jump back a little bit, which was, he commented about how he sounded very well adjusted. And in my mind, I was like, no, like, you're a comedian and a storyteller. Like, you also crave the attention and adulation. I think if you're a performer, You're not well adjusted by definition. I don't know.
And you you made sure to articulate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That was a really great moment.
But what do you think about that, Ellen? Do you agree? Do you disagree?
You think performers are inherently not well adjusted because they crave validation. But don't we all crave validation in different ways? Those of us that don't perform.
Yeah.
Aren't we all performing, Dennis, all the time?
Whoa, mind blown emoji. We are. That's true.
We're all performing.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm being facetious, too hard on us performers.
Everybody's performing, but there's something super narcissistic about someone who gets up on a platform and makes everybody else shut up and sit in silence.
Yeah.
I talk and do stuff.
Yeah.
But the point being, we're all performing.
Yeah. You know, I've had the thought, and this is so, speaking of ego, I've had the thought, like, to an audience, like, you laugh when I want you to laugh.
Oh my God.
We can cut that.
No, we're keeping that in.
Well, I guess we'll see.
You laugh when I tell you to laugh. Oh my God.
Yeah, so I guess I can't speak for Rob or anybody else, but I am not well adjusted. I think I was maybe projecting a little bit there.
Who is well adjusted? Malcolm seems pretty well adjusted.
Malcolm and Michelle Obama.
So the only one.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Two very grounded people with their feet, you know, firmly planted on the ground.
Something else that Malcolm said that I want to, when we were talking about psychotherapy, is that we need to notice things and then make choices. Mm. And I liked that he said, you know, like, notice that you're being hard on yourself, and then you can continue. You can choose to continue to be hard on yourself, or you can, you know, choose a different path. And I really liked his attitude of, like, there's no should or shouldn't. There's just noticing and choices. And he said, like, staying miserable is an option.
Yeah, if you're miserable, you can notice that, observe that,
yeah,
like, dispassionately and without judgment.
Yeah.
I'm feeling miserable. I noticed that.
Yeah.
And then you can choose to just, I think I'm going to continue being miserable. And that's fine. That's valid.
And that's okay. Because sometimes you're like, no, I need some time in the misery, like, mm-hmm, section before I can move out of it. It's part of my process. And I just really like that because, you know, I'm hard on myself, and then I'm hard on myself for being hard on myself. And, mm-hmm, you know, I'm just, it's a lot of, like, oh, I'm not doing it right. I should do this. And he was very much like, there's no should in any of this. It's just choices. Whatever choice you make is fine.
Yeah, I found myself thinking about that a lot lately. And I think, he said it, and also my therapist has said it, and also our couples therapist, me and Robin's couples therapist has said it, about noticing a thought and noticing how you feel and noticing behavior, whatever, just noticing it.
Yes.
And just without judgment.
Yeah. There's some data. Look, there's some data. That's cool.
And it's just, it is very, like, it takes away a lot of anxiety when you just notice and it's just being mindful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what mindfulness is.
Mm-hmm.
I've even started taking that attitude into my teaching of just being like, mindfulness. Yeah. Being present and mindfulness. And this is what I mean by mindfulness,
mm-hmm,
you know? And this might be a good time to plug that we are both teachers at Magnet.
Yeah.
And if you are thinking about taking an improv class, you can take an improv class with one of us, or heck, both of us.
Yes.
If you're feeling wild.
I don't have classes up yet because I am very busy right now with another job that I do. And so I probably won't have classes up for a while, but I really hope to in the near future. So stay tuned.
Well, I hope you do. You're a great teacher.
Thank you.
Because I've taken your class.
That's right. You were a big sib. Oh, that was so fun.
Very fun class.
So fun.
Well, I think...
We did it.
That's our, yeah, that's our season
two.
Should
we celebrate this moment, Dennis?
We definitely should celebrate this moment by at least getting a drink together.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, let's put something on the books.
Yeah, we gotta commemorate this. But we started this project. I can't believe we're like two seasons. It was just a thought in our head, Dennis, and now we're two seasons in, and we get to talk to all these incredible people. First of all, we didn't know this was even going to become an interview podcast.
Well, yeah, we didn't.
It's an interview podcast. That's great. I love it. Yeah. We get to learn from all these amazing, cool, thoughtful people that take the time to sit down with us and be authentic with us and vulnerable with us. I don't even have conversations this deep with my friends, you know? Like, it's a beautiful thing to sit down and have an intentional, like, authentic conversation.
Yeah, I discovered that I try to be a good listener, and I like hearing people's stories, but I think I really learned that I really enjoy learning about people.
Yeah, same.
And we are, like, I feel like I am learning. Learning things that I'm taking into my life from these interviews. So
undoubtedly.
I'm grateful for that. And let's keep doing this. Let's keep doing this.
Yes. Yes. And these recaps are helpful because they remind us of the lessons.
Yeah.
They remind us of the lessons that we learned.
Yeah. And we thought we weren't going to have anything to talk about.
Oh my gosh.
What were we thinking? Well, Ellen, I think we can call it there, right?
Yeah. On to season three.
On to season three. So that's it for this season. Follow us on Instagram at Pursuit of Perfectness. Send us DMs or write us an email like an old fossil at pursuitofperfectness@gmail.com. Truly, I would love to get an email. Send us an email. Just let us know you're out there. Ping us. Hey, if you like what you heard, rate us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, tell your friends. Thank you to Keith Burgun for our theme music. And until next season, be a little less hard on yourself.
Bye! Bye.